All right, we're going to continue our lesson in our series, For the Good of Your Child. And this lesson is on teaching children to listen. Teaching children to listen. Are you listening? You know, I remember conducting an experiment in one of my classes years and years ago. And I said to the class, now I'm going to say something out loud. And then I said something, I said a phrase out loud, and I told the first person to whisper the phrase to the next person all through the class to see if it would come out pure at the end. And you can't imagine. And by the way, I told them that if it came out pure at the end, I would give them a prize. I think it was an ice cream bar or something like that. And you can imagine that what came out at the end. It never came out right. Now, why was that? Listening skills. Listening skills. So that's what we're talking about. Listening skills. Very, very important subject. Now, one of the great principles of our God that probably you may have never even thought about as a principle of God, but it's the principle of raw materials. The principle of raw materials. Now, God gives raw materials to us that we may enter into labor with Him to bring about a finished product. Think about that. He gives us that which we can use to take and put our work into it that we may be co-laborers with God. Now, this auditorium that you're in is filled with things, including the clothes that you wear, that began as raw materials. But by God-given human intelligence and hard work have been made fit so that you could be in a finished room or in clothes that could be worn. All of these things started out as raw materials. Now, this poem recited by the Jews at Passover describes this principle. Now, one of the listening skills, by the way, is looking at the person that's talking to you. Looking at the person that's talking to you. Please look at the person that's talking to you. Good, that's good. Keep your eyes on the person that's talking to you. Very important listening skills. Now, blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the bread of life. So you can see that God does not give us finished bread, but He gives us that which is needed to make finished bread. He has chosen to engage with us. What a privilege that is for God to choose to engage with His creation in the matter of finishing things. He has chosen to engage with us, to co-labor with us toward a finishing that is pleasing to both God and man. God makes wheat. He doesn't make bread. He makes grapes. He doesn't make wine. But when we take the raw materials God gives us, we can add our work and give them back to Him as an offering. Have you ever thought that what you add to God's raw materials is an offering back to God? Isn't it important to do your work excellently as if that work was an offering to God? Now, God has given me hands to work with wood. I've made things out of wood since I was in my teens. And one thing woodworking has taught me is that wood begins its journey as in a practical use, first as a tree. You have trees out there. There's the beginnings of wood. Then it's cut into rough, coarse, unrefined planks of wood. Those planks, they're oversized, they're unplaned, They're unsanded, nor have their edges been sent through a jointer. Now, this podium that I'm standing at is composed of wood from an oak tree partially felled by Hurricane Ivan and then completely felled 9 months later by Hurricane Dennis. I remember seeing that tree in this position after Hurricane Ivan. And I said, oh me, oh my. I don't know if I said that, but it sounds good to say. What am I going to do? Well, Hurricane Dennis came along and the tree was presented to the ground. It bowed a little and then it bowed fully. And remember that tree we cut, Brother Gene? But to get value from this oak tree, we cut it in 8-foot sections, big old oak tree about that big. We cut it in 8-foot sections, and then I hired a miller of wood from Alabama. And he came and spent the day sawing felled oak and pine trees into planks for me. And most of the planks were 12 inches by 1 inch thick, rough planks. They started out as rough, but after much labor, these planks were reduced in size. They were planed, they were sanded, they were joined and finished into something useful. Now, this podium was hidden in a tree, but by hard work has been released from that tree and made into something useful to man. We teach from it every week. It's used during the school time. It's made useful. It was in a tree. Now it's here. God made the tree. God made these hands. These hands were put to work refining this. So God did his part, and I did my part. Now children come into this world as rough or raw material. Even that grandbaby came into this world as rough and raw material. Now there is absolutely nothing refined about them at all. Upon birth, they cry. They wet themselves. Can you imagine wetting yourself like that? They have no pride. They just wet themselves. They're not equipped or smart enough to keep food down and will spit up on their mother at will. Can you imagine that? They require constant attention, constant cleaning, and constant care. Now, if someone came from outer space and saw a baby for the first time, they would certainly wonder why anyone would keep such a strange, seemingly useless thing around. But you know, God has made them somewhat attractive. And I suppose that is enough to put up with the rest. But they came as raw materials. God has handed you this child as raw materials. Now, what's the principle of raw materials? They're not to remain raw. They're now to be refined, parents. And following the principle of raw materials, God provides the baby in raw material form and expects his mother and his father to get busy toward finishing that baby in order to please the one who provided the raw material. You know, God was pleased with this podium because he gave me raw material. I took that raw material. I made this podium for the glory of God, and God smiled. And God wants to smile at you when you take that raw material of children and refine them. Now, taking that baby and co-laboring with God toward an acceptable finished product is inherent in being responsible for bringing the baby into this world. If you bring a baby into this world, attached to that bringing is responsibility. You don't bring babies into the world if you don't believe that. The two go together. Now, so God gives many principles in His Word in which to follow, a kind of recipe for bringing out a finished product which will not only please God, but will please parents who devote many years to the finishing. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth, John said. I say that. I have no greater joy to think about my children. Have I refined them? Have I taken raw material? And have I refined them that they may walk in truth? Listening, looking. God gives raw materials, but God also gives the manufacturing manual that the outcome meets His standards. Isn't that wonderful? You know, lately I've been looking at manufacturers' manuals. This breaks. And I'm not one to call someone to do it, except I do call my son-in-law. Get down here and help me. And he says, yes, sir. We've been trying to analyze a problem on the RV, and he's like a bulldog. Just keeps attacking it. I'm sitting there, I think I'm done. But he checks the manual, checks the book. But God gives us a manual in the matter of rearing children. This is unique in the principle of raw materials, for God only gives a manual for finishing babies. While all other manuals are developed by man for all other products begun from raw materials. Now there's something important about that. He gives us that tree, but He doesn't tell us how to make the podium. But He gives us a baby, and He tells us how to make the baby to suit His needs. What a difference. What a unique situation that is. Now, we have already checked God's manual concerning the finishing of children with regard to authority and servanthood, and today we are to bring into the finishing school the need for children to listen. That's what we're about today. Listening skills. Servants are under authority, and being under authority, they are to listen to the master that they may know what pleases the master. You know, a servant walks through the great house. Now, does the servant walk through the great house like this, getting from A to B? Well, yes, he gets from A to B, but he doesn't do that. He looks around. Where's the need? I want this place to be perfect for the master. I'm looking for a need, and I'm going to satisfy the need. That's a servant's heart. Now, the word listen is used in the King James Version of the Bible only 2 times. But the word hear, H-E-A-R, is used many times. True listening means true hearing, because hearing includes the doing of what is heard. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, there's a lot of hearers. I'm so in love with the scriptures, someone says. Yeah, but do you do the scriptures? Oh, that's too hard. But I love the rhythm of the verses. I love whatever literary term I should use about the scriptures. I love all that. But do you do that? No, I don't do that. That's old fashioned. But I just love the literary aspect of the scriptures. But true listening means true hearing. Now, God instructs His people in Deuteronomy 5:1, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them. Not just hear them, but that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Wow, that's full, isn't it? That's so full. Not hear, but hearing, the kind of hearing that leads you to do. Learn and do. And in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He'll attain so that he can counsel others. You know, all of us need counsel from time to time. Are you ready to listen to good counsel, or are you just ready to go your own way? And in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, in a child's raw state, think about that child's raw state. They are deficient in all three of these areas. For they are not swift to hear, they are slow to hear. That's the way they come. God gives them to you that way. They're slow to hear. Now, he tells you in his word, be swift to hear. So something has to take place. That means, I've got a responsibility. I've got to do something about that. God says, they come to me, he gives them to me, slow to hear. But he tells me in his word that they're supposed to be swift to hear. Something has to take place. There has to be a transition. Well, they'll pick it up on their own. No, parent. Put it down in your responsibility book. Here's another responsibility book. It's a big, long book. You got lots of responsibilities. You can't be lazy. So they come into this, in this raw state, slow to hear, quick to speak. Children are quick to speak. And they're quick to wrath. That's how they come. They be open the package, and that's what's in there. So God gives parents instructions to turn this around, for this is unacceptable to their Maker. He gives them to you in that state, and you have a responsibility to add your work into their lives, just like you add work from the tree to this, so that they come out a finished product acceptable to the Maker. Now, isn't that reasonable? I'd say that's pretty reasonable. So this is part of the recipe given by God for a child to arrive at adulthood, fitting the design of the provider of the raw materials. God has in mind for your child a finished product. Now, he's going to help you in this. He wants you to see that they trust Christ. And alongside, a comforter will come, an instructor will come and help you in this. And they'll be conformed to the image of Christ. See? But you got to do your part. God has a quality control methodology in his manual to guarantee an acceptable finished product. And that finished product is to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's the finished product. He gives you the criteria. He gives you the quality of the product. So one of the refining steps needed to be done in child rearing is teaching the art of listening or hearing. Now, God provides the proper tools for this to happen. He provides two ears, and thankfully, only one mouth. Isn't God good? Giving you a baby with only one mouth. Oh, it's so loud. They can really make a ruckus, can't they? But he only gives them two ears, and he gives them one mouth. That ought to tell you something. So there's a need for parents to teach them how to use these tools. Now, training is difficult in proportion to its importance. Making the development of listening skills among the most difficult to master, but when mastered, they bring the most reward. Don't you want reward as a parent? I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. That's my reward. I put in all that time and I see my children walking in truth and I say, Lord, it was worth it. Lord, it was worth it. I believed your word. I tried to put that into the children and now I see them walking in truth. What a reward that is. But it would seem on the surface that teaching a child to listen should be a relatively easy matter. After all, the normal child comes with a set of receivers, and every physically normal parent has a more than satisfactory transmitter. So you've got the receivers in the ears of the child. You've got the transmitter in the mouth of the parent. Notice the transaction here. Who's being the student and who's being the teacher? Nowadays, I think it could be reversed. Now, it might be good for us to recall at this point that although Jesus, on at least three different occasions, told all of his disciples that he must suffer many things. Remember that. He be rejected by the Jewish leaders, be killed, and the third day rise again. And you would think the disciples were all ears. No, they were no ears. Because they didn't listen, they didn't understand a thing. They heard his words, but they were not listening. They had preconceived ideas that closed their ears to truth. My, that happens a lot. Their own self-centered ideas about an immediate earthly kingdom with them sitting upon thrones caused them to make this teaching fit their own selfish ideas. Preconceived notions. I'm not listening to that. Doesn't fit my preconceived notions. And this is not listening. Now, listening involves six things. You can read this in your book for the good of your child. But the first thing is submission. Submission. You know, your child has to submit to your training. Then, two, attention. They have to pay attention. They have to give their attention. And three, concentration. Evaluation. Five, assimilation, which means making part and parcel of one's being. Assimilate. Take what you've been taught and bring it into you. And now you have the training and the learning that was given from another. And then the last one, determination. Now, submission. The listener is a learner. Remember that. Boy, you can go. There used to be a saying, I think it's anathema today, but a child should be seen and not heard. Oh, that's terrible. Well, there's a lot of good truth about that. What does a child have to train you with? Are they trainers? Have they been given that which to train you? But submission. A listener is a learner, and a learner must have a submissive attitude. Make sure your child has a submissive attitude, and then they'll learn. Submission to parents' spoken word, which is voice obedience, we'll be getting into that in the next lesson. Voice obedience is a first and most important lesson for the young child to learn and is the basis for most of the rest of the training the child will receive. Submission. Attention. The submissive child must be taught to give his undivided attention to the instruction given. You got to be attentive to what's being taught. Concentration. Prolonged attention is basically concentration. A young child's attention span is not very long. Now, when you have your own children, you'll learn this quickly. Therefore, we should not expect nor require them to listen intently for too long a period of time. That's part of the wisdom of parenthood. Know your child. Little children can be attentive for a very short time. The ability to concentrate for longer periods should increase with age. You know, but I must say about this, adults seem to have a long attention. They don't have a long attention span either, so be careful talking people's ears off. You know, conversation is like a tennis match. If all you do is hog the ball, there's no tennis match. So in conversation, let the other person speak. But you know, sometimes you listen, you're standing there. My eyes are glazing over. I'm growing a beard. You know, get going. Be brief. Speak your mind. And the same thing applies with children. Evaluation. As our children grow, the ability to evaluate what they have heard or read becomes important. They have to evaluate. They have to compare this to this and this to this to make the right choices in life. Listening to the parents' voice is the first step in their giving their attention to the written page, which will become a vital part of the learning process as children become proficient in reading. So listening skills help them in their reading skills to evaluate. Discernment is vital for a Christian in a world that cries for our attention. Boy, the world needs attention. It's like a child. I need attention. Pay attention to me. And screams at us. But we need to listen to God's word. Assimilation. To incorporate, the act of making a part of one's being. Having evaluated what we have listened to, spoken or written, the child must learn to incorporate principles learned which square with the Word of God into his everyday life. You're presenting principles. You know, you live by principles. If you live by principles, you don't live by emotion. You can't live, if you try to live by emotion, you will fail. You live by principles. Determination, using that to which we have listened to make decisions in life is the end result of learning to listen. Truth received must become truth in practice. There's those principles of God's word. And error discerned must be avoided and denounced. Those are part of listening skills that you're to teach to your children. Now, both functions require listening. Now, here's some things to remember when teaching children to listen. Begin addressing the child by speaking his or her name. In other words, this is to you, Johnny. This is to you, Alphonse. No Alphonse here. So I'm picking on Alphonse. This is to you, Alphonse. So he's supposed to look up. You specifically point at him. Give clear instructions and insist upon complete compliance, even in the smallest detail. Don't let him shave. Don't let him shave off. Now, I asked my granddaughter, go out on the front porch. Our squirrels are having a time with pine cones lately. And they get up on the pilasters near the fence and they eat their pine and they don't clean up. They make a mess. So I asked my granddaughter, I said, take this broom and go brush those off. Well, she goes and does that, comes and gets me. Grandpa, I did that. So I go out and inspect. I say, what about that piece? What about that piece? So she has to do it again. So I'm teaching her excellence in work to the finest detail. It wasn't nothing. I could take my blower and blow it all off in no time at all. But I'm interested in teaching her excellence. Don't let them play with something while you are talking to them. Don't let them have their iPhone or their Droid or iPad or whatever they have. Yes, I'm listening. Now, what kind of dopey parent would that be? That's just dopey. Insist that they sit up and look you in the eye, wandering eyes, close the ears. Now that's a good saying. Wandering eyes close the ears. They do. They wander over there and all of a sudden the ears shut off. Connect with them before you direct them. They are the target. You are the arrow. Remember that. With little children, bend or squat down to their eye level and gain eye-to-eye contact to get their attention. Teach them how to focus, and when they speak, you listen so they know what listening means. If they speak to you, you listen. Show them by example what listening is. Don't teach or give instructions until you are sure you have their attention. Now, teachers in the classroom, if you try to teach an unruly bunch, forget it. You might as well sit down. How are they going to learn? You got to get their attention. Everybody looking at you. Not fiddling with a pencil. Not passing notes. Everybody looking at you. Eye contact. Require an accountability from your children for what you have told them. Don't accept excuses such as, I didn't hear you. Or I don't know what you're, I didn't know that you're talking to me. What do you mean? I said Alphonse. How many Alphonses are in the house? You know? Don't always be talking their ears off either. Goodness gracious, I've seen parents blabbing. You know, they've only got a little mind. They can't grasp it all. The younger the child, the shorter and simple your directions should be. Don't ask a three-year-old child why he did something. When you do, you are asking a three-year-old for a psychological analysis. You know, I could ask you and say, why did you do that? I don't know. You can't even answer some of the things you do. So how can you expect a three-year-old child? Try to use the one or two sentence rule. Keep it brief. The longer you talk, the child is more likely to become deaf. There's something in there. Turns it off. They got a little dial there, a volume dial. You know how that is when faced with a long talker, one who will not allow a word in edgewise. You know that from your own experience. Perhaps you're a long talker. Well, you ought to change that. You know? Be a long listener. Don't use, if you do this, then you can play, sentence structure. Use, when you do this, then you can play. If suggests that your child has a choice. See? If you do this, then you can play. Well, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to play. Well, there's no choice. So don't use the word if. Because you're not offering a choice, but expecting obedience. Ask your child to repeat the request back to you. That's an important thing. All right, what did I tell you? I'm supposed to pick up the toys. What else did I tell you? I don't know. Well, I told you to pick up the toys, put them in the box in your room, close the door, and go to sleep. Oh. Well, what happened to the listening skills? Start over. Until you get it right. See, perhaps the request was too complicated. Perhaps it was too long. So you have to learn from your child what his attention span is and deal with that. And as they grow older, then they have a longer attention span. Be the one to close the discussion. Children always want to continue on. Oh, please, help me. I'll do this if you do this. And so bargaining, and dealing. But you be the one to close the discussion. I'm not changing my mind about this. Discussion closed. Authority speaks. So the time to be the toughest in seeing that your instructions are carried out is the first time they fail to do what you say. We're getting to voice obedience. Now, it takes time. Don't expect results. You know, you get that baby home. Oh, he's so sweet. But it takes time. You can't do it overnight. But it will be a tremendous benefit to your child throughout life if they have listening skills. Don't be weary. Don't give up. Bible says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Parents aren't to faint. They have, there's a law against fainting, parents. You're not supposed to faint. That's, you know, it's a given that if you're a parent, you're not supposed to faint. Now, just because fruit is not harvested immediately does not mean that it will not be forthcoming. Don't be downhearted. Keep on doing the right thing. Don't change and do the wrong thing because you don't see it working, but keep on doing the right thing. The longer the processing of ripening, the sweeter and more precious the fruit. Patience and perseverance are the success twins of child rearing. It is not easy to find a good listener, for all of us want to talk about all things, and there is so little time to listen. I've got all these things to talk about. How am I going to have time to listen? But you know, listening, not talking, is the greater gift. You think about that. A good listener. You hardly ever hear about a good talker. It's usually the other way around. But you do hear about, boy, that person is a good listener. The true listener is more beloved, more desired to be with, more effective as a witness, and learns much more and does much more good than the talker. Isn't that what you want your child to be? Don't you want your child to be more beloved, more desired to be with, more effective as a witness, one that learns more and more than the talker? You know, when you talk, are you learning anything? But when you listen, you may learn something. So we are to take the raw materials of children that God gives us and include the art of listening in their refinement. That's a responsibility that we have from the Maker. He gives us that baby and we say, "Ooh, that's pretty raw. You know, couldn't you do a little bit better than that?" No, that's what you get. And now I got to spend 18, hopefully only 18 years. I don't want to spend 26 years, but I got to spend 18 years refining this, taking that rawness, taking that coarseness, making them smell better as they go through life, and I present them to the Lord. And I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Isn't that a great joy? Isn't the investment worth it? Parents, isn't that investment worth it? To put that into the lives of your children, that they might present to God a servant. Father, we thank you so much, Father, for your wonderful word. Your word is so good, Father. You've given us the manual for child rearing. So many neglect it. They go their own way. They make their own manual. They go online and get this manual and that manual. But Lord, you give us a manual where the results are guaranteed. And do bless us, Father. Bless these parents. And bless these young people, Father, that soon will have children by thy grace. And help them to remember these words, Father, that they do indeed have a great responsibility to conform their children to the image of Jesus Christ by your help and by your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.